This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your official home to talk New York Knicks. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, getting back into the swing of things. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join. Also streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X, Twitter, and Instagram, all under Keith McPherson. YouTube is McPherson brand. Yeah, man, we're talking about a lot of different things, and this is what happens when you have a week off. You have a bunch of different things in your notes to talk about and things to bring to the airwaves. And, you know, some things kind of serious. It's just kind of had a serious tone. I never shy away from these conversations. I feel like we need to have more real conversations. I don't have any gimmicks. I don't have any shtick. I don't have any games to play on air. I don't have any co-hosts. I can't come in here and yuck it up. I can only be myself. I can only be real with y'all. And it's late at night, like... Ain't nobody got time for the games and the... I don't have any segments. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have real topics to discuss. I have real things, whether it's, you know, Brett Gardner losing his son, which, like, I'm still shaken up about it, and it's tough to read and, you know, to hear about. Prayers up to them. Or whether it's Jameis Winston and his situation, right? And how, like, man, there's a ton of these athletes... that have these issues with, whether it's with women or just things off the field. And then, you know, obviously that goes into Trevor Bauer. And Trevor Bauer, like I just said to my chat, how come nobody is campaigning for Julio Urias, the almighty Dodgers, right? That guy was with the Dodgers. How come nobody's talking about, you know, him being suspended? And... As soon as I type his name in, Trevor Bauer weighs in on Julio Urias' pardon and takes a swing at MLB. Maybe don't take any more swings at MLB. You're absolutely cooked, bro. And Trevor Bauer is cooked in Major League Baseball. Like, you guys want to say the Yankees are cooked? No, we don't know what the Yankees are going to be. We don't know what the Yankees can win a bunch of games. Maybe they win 90 games. Maybe they're a postseason team. Trevor Bauer is winning zero Major League Baseball games this year. Maybe Ryan Yarbrough does. You know, I saw this earlier. Breaking news, the Yankees are finalizing a deal for left-handed pitcher Ryan Yarbrough. Great. We'll take him. He recently was optioned to AAA by the Blue Jays. Left Toronto fans confused after an impressive stint. Also, some fans confused. I saw people in my chat talking about Brandon Drury, former Toronto Blue Jay, former Yankee. From what I saw with Brandon Drury, he got cut from the White Sox. He can't make camp with the White Sox. But then people were bringing to my attention, he had three homers. He batted .410. He had a .439 on base percentage. 821 slug, but I think he got hurt. I think he hurt his thumb. And the White Sox don't care about anything. So maybe somebody will pick him up. I don't think he'll be picked up by the Mets or Yankees, but maybe the Yankees run it back with him. Who knows? But as Yankee fans are saying, Gerrit Cole, you have a $20 million insurance policy on. And as the Tampa Bay Rays, if you haven't seen their renovations to George M. Steinbrenner Field, it is odd. It just doesn't look right, feel right, as they have a big Yankee logo and then 2025 home of the Tampa Bay Rays, and they're putting up Rays where you have the Y-A-N-K-E-E-S. Like, the Rays are paying the Yankees like $20 million or something to use their facility, so fans are screaming, make a move. Why can't you make a move? Why can't you do something? Well, here's Ryan Yarbrough. And as the rosters get finalized and as, you know, names pop up like a Brandon Drury, you'll see what's out there. And the Yankees will see what's out there. Brian Cashman, we expect you to do your job, do your due diligence. 888-808-1019. I did have a quote from over the weekend with Cashman. And, you know, Cashman will undersell what he's going to do and what he's trying to do, and which I think is smart. But he's basically letting you know, like, yo, it's not that easy. It's not that easy to just get guys out here. I can't just do it. So, yeah, Max Goodman said, takeaways from Brian Cashman speaking today. This was a few days ago now. Yankees definitely keeping the phone lines open. Sounds like Cashman would like to add a right-handed bat, but he's unsurprisingly open to upgrading any aspect of the team. Don't think we'll see Giancarlo Stanton, DJ LeMahieu, or Clayton Beter anytime soon. Seems like Pablo Reyes is higher on the Yankees depth chart than Oswald Peraza. And after what he did today against the Mets, I would confirm that as well. And then lastly, while Cashman made the announcement on Carrasco and Schmidt, he didn't answer a question about how Will Warren factors into the opening day roster, but then we did actually get that answer. I think we got that answer from Boone. So, man, coming up, this is it. These are the last days before we get back to baseball. Let's get back to the phone. Solomon is in Brooklyn. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, good evening, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. So I got two questions. The first one, I would like to have them, answered individually. So the first one is, what do you think the future holds for the New York Yankees this coming season afterward? Even, you know, thank God they made it to the World Series after 15 years or 16 years. What do you think holds for the future of the New York Yankees? And I'll ask my second question after.
Let me answer that one. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited for Yankee fans. I'm excited to get back into the building. I'm excited just to have a first pitch every night, series to look at, like actual real baseball. I don't know. I don't think this is a World Series team. Too many injuries. It's hard to get back to the World Series after being there last year. Somebody else is going to emerge. I just can't go into the season expecting them to win a World Series. We know that's the expectation as Yankee fans. Every year, World Series are bust, but like, I'm not going to be heartbroken if they don't get back to the World Series. But I'm down to go for the ride. I expect them to make the postseason. And you never know. We don't know who they're going to add at the deadline. We don't know who's going to rise up. We don't know what other teams are going to look like. But I just, like, I don't know. I'm so hit by all of the injuries and how different this team looks coming into one out of 162. I'm just not thinking World Series. I've grown up. I've grown up to learn. Peter Pan, you know, Santa Claus isn't real. Peter Pan, you got to leave Never Never Land. Like, the Yankees aren't winning a World Series every year. In this modern day baseball, it is tough to just get to back-to-back World Series. If they do, that would be amazing. But my hopes are just for some wins, get to the postseason, and to have another fun season on the Fan and going to the games and interacting with
other Yankee fans online and just enjoying baseball season as a whole, not just the Yankees, the entire Major League Baseball season.
So, and you think that, so my first question, you're thinking that the Yankees might be able to do something special in the trade deadline, or will...
I mean, they better, but, like, you know what, too? Like, I've also learned about our GM and our team. Like, they don't go all in. They don't go for it. So, like, I can't sit here and think. Because also, if we think that they're going to go all in and go for it at the trade deadline, who's everybody asking for? George Lombard Jr., Spencer Jones, Will Warren, Jason Dominguez, like, and the guys that are already up here playing, other top prospects. Like, they're going to try and fleece the Yankees for their future. And Cashman's not going for it. So, like, you got to give to get. I can't sit here and be like, oh, yeah, they're just going to address it at the deadline because everyone is going to be a high asking price. There's going to be a Yankees tax. And I know Cashman is not going for it. And there's always more teams involved with the expanded postseason, more teams that are buyers. I don't know. I have tapered my expectations. That's good. I think I said to one of my homies, I'm like, yo, let the expectations drop. Lower the bar a little bit, and let's see where this goes. Let them potentially, like, under-promise and over-deliver. Like, that can happen. I'm good with that.
And my second question, about the New York Giants NFL. Do you think they'll be making a trade, or do you think they'll be able to draft better in the draft coming? And thank you for everything. And I can't wait for the 2025 baseball. God bless you. And I'm sorry for the loss of Brett Gardner's son. But everyone should have a great life. Take care.
Bye. Thank you for the call, Solomon. Do I think the Giants are going to make a trade moving from the third pick up or back? Or do I think they're going to draft at the pick? I think they're going to draft at the pick, man. I just think like... Deion signaling for it. They scouted Shador. They have Jameis. I watched the whole Cam Ward pro day today. And there's a part of me that thinks that, like, him and Shador are not that far apart. There's a part of me that thinks that neither one of them are super athletic runners. Cam Ward may have a little bit more of a live arm. But, like, live arm doesn't, like, Jamarcus Russell had a live arm. Live arm doesn't make you a better NFL quarterback. A lot of it is about situations. A lot of it is about awareness. A lot of it is about anticipation, reading defenses, timing. What I'm basically getting at is, like, what if after all this talk, Shador Sanders is the better NFL quarterback than Cam Ward? And you don't have to move up. You don't have to give up, which I don't. The conversation of what the Giants would have to give up to get Cam Ward is over. The Titans are taking him. Like I told you before, I was watching that, and at the end, like, Bill Callahan's, like, dapping him up. And, like, there were times last year where I'm like, oh, Bill Callahan hates Will Levis. Calling him out in the post game, talking about him turning the ball over. He'd much rather have Cam Ward step in there. Cam Ward gets drafted number one. He's a starter day one. Will Levis could be the backup, but, like, they could also get rid of him. They could chuck him anywhere. I'm just starting to think, right? The Giants have to draft a quarterback. They could pass on Shador at three and get a generational talent in Abdul Carter. I think they should go Travis Hunter. They could trade back from three and say, let's see how the board shakes out. But I just think that's stupid. Like, you're at three. Take the best player on the board if you're not sure about the quarterback. But I think they are sure about the quarterback. You know what, too, with Jameis? As I talked about Jameis being a number one overall pick and him having the pressure of being number one and coming into a franchise, having to be the future of the franchise, making mistakes, he'll be able to share some of that with Shador. Jameis isn't a runner either. Jameis is a pocket passer. Every black quarterback is not a runner. I think that putting him in the same quarterback room as Shador Sanders helps Shador Sanders. They're both going to be pocket passing quarterbacks looking to throw first, run really never, unless they absolutely have to, and limit turnovers. I think Jameis is a guy that, you know, it could be Jameis as your week one starter, and you go however many weeks, and then Shador is potentially ready, and if you're not winning games, whatever. We'll see, though. We'll see what they think, though. It doesn't matter what I think. It's about what Shane and Dable think, and they got to think with their jobs on the line. Philip is in Jamaica, Queens on the Fan. What's up, Philip?
Thanks for taking my call. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope all is well with you, and I hope your son is doing well.
He's doing great. I'm blessed to have my son. I love him more than anything, and like watching him go from a little baby to like now being a little dude it's a blessing of my life.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to watch. I want to talk about the Giants quarterback situation. I have a different view. Look, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and in my opinion, how did they win the Super Bowl? They built up the trenches. What I'm saying is the offensive line and the defensive line. And any quarterback that the Giants are going to draft, it's going to be like Daniel Jones. If the offensive line isn't good, no quarterback's going to be good. So my opinion is, before you draft a quarterback, why don't you draft – you got Winston, maybe you sign Cousins, and – build up the offensive line, build up the defensive line, then draft the quarterback. If you draft the quarterback,
they're not going to be able, they'd have to trade for Kirk Cousins, and I don't see any point in trading for Kirk Cousins, who was terrible when we last saw him. And, you know, he may waive his trade. Kirk Cousins wants to start, and I don't think he wants to start in the Meadowlands. As far as building up the trenches, and stay with me, Philip, I get it, right? The Eagles, right? We're going to use the Eagles as the example with their offensive and defensive line. They didn't do that in one offseason. They didn't build up those offensive and defensive lines in one offseason. They put those guys together over years. And they also made some smart moves to plug in a Mekhi Becton, who's now signing with the Chargers. They also were able to go to Cam Jurgens. Like, you know, they had a Hall of Fame, potential Hall of Fame, center retire. And they were able to plug in another guy that they drafted and to go with Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson. And, you know, on the other side of the ball, with guys like Jalen Carter and Milton Williams and Sweat, and like they hit on in the draft. Like, to build these offensive and defensive line, what I'm saying is you got to hit on multiple drafts year after year. The Giants have already missed in so many drafts. And you have a GM and a head coach that have to draft a quarterback. They haven't drafted their own guy. That is the only thing that they can latch on to in the event that they lose games. Like, they can latch on to, hey, we're developing this quarterback. They can't latch on to, we're developing Abdul Carter. They can't latch on to, we're developing Will Campbell.
Yeah, but aren't you concerned if they draft a quarterback without especially the offensive line? Like Daniel Jones, he's going to be killed. Then he's going to be cut shy because he's always going to think he's
no, because they've already made some marginal moves. And I got to pull up the handy-dandy New York Giants free agency tracker. They've already made some marginal moves where I think their offensive line is going to be better. We got to at least assume that Andrew Thomas is going to be healthy. I don't think that their offensive line is going to be like the offensive line that Daniel Jones was playing behind, and not for nothing, Daniel Jones is to blame for some of that too, being a sitting duck. Not completely, but some of it, yes. In the NFL, you have to have a pre-snap read. You have to have an idea of where the blitz is coming from. You got to get rid of the ball. There's a lot of times where I've watched Daniel Jones just like, you know, one read, two read, run, or like not. No, I'll never forget that that Seahawks game, and that Cowboy blitz was coming. Everybody in the stadium could see it coming. He couldn't see it was coming. It's like, the corner is blitzing, dude. Like, how do you not know that guy's coming? And I think that was their first overall draft pick at corner. I forget the kid out of Illinois. I forget his name now.
All right. Well, okay. But I like Daniel Jones. I thought he was a good quarterback.
But like, what's to like about Daniel Jones? He's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. Everybody talked about how, you know, much of a great teammate he was. But as a Giants fan, like, maybe there was one season alike from Daniel Jones. Other than that, it was just too up and down. Devin Witherspoon is the kid I was thinking of.
But I like the way he used his, you know, his feet, his legs. Although he took too much punishment. He didn't know how to slide down. He would take hits that are necessary. So
yeah, well, the Daniel Jones era is over. I think it's time for a rookie quarterback's era to begin under Shane and Dable, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm just worried about, you know, the offensive line. But if you think it could be okay, then...
I don't know. Thanks for the call, Philip. I'll say this, as I, you know, pulled it up. Like, they, you know, guys like... They almost probably led the league in different offensive line configurations, at least 10 or 12. And some of their first moves were to add offensive line depth and you know, re-sign some guys. Aaron Stinney, Stone Forsythe, James Hudson. James Hudson III is the guy that looks like T-Pain. Stone Forsythe was with the Seattle Seahawks. So they have some reinforcements on top of guys like, you know, John Michael Schmitz has to have a better year. I said Andrew Thomas, we got to assume is healthy. Evan Neal, I don't know. That's when we talk about building, like, Evan Neal's got to be a hit. He's got to be the correct pick, picking that high. And so far he hasn't been. I can't say that the book is closed on him, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got to be something. They brought back Greg Van Roten. I don't think the offensive line is going to be as bad if they're healthy. I did mention earlier I like the signing of Lil Jordan Humphrey and Zach Pascal. I think those are two guys with speed that in this offense, you know, we'll see what happens with Jameis and Malik Nabers and Darius Slayton. Like, you might have some burners. You might be able to stretch the field. But to stretch the field, you need protection. You need time. Draft some offensive linemen, too. Why wouldn't that be a need? Obviously, the need is, I don't know. To me, I think if, like, you don't want to be picking six overall. Like, last year, you're picking six overall. Like, look at the Giants' top 10 picks, right? Saquon at two, Daniel Jones at six, Evan Neal, Kayvon. Can we hit on a guy and like feel good about that? Like, and I guess you could say, Keith, I don't feel good about Shedeur Sanders. I don't think that's a hit. Travis Hunter, I feel better about. Maybe that's how they feel. When I talk about they scouted Shedeur Sanders, they were going to Colorado. They definitely know Travis Hunter too. There's no way they didn't talk to him. So maybe they do take Travis Hunter at three, and then they wait and see if Jackson Dart falls. Jackson Dart's not going to fall, though. Jackson Dart's not falling. I think he goes top 20. It's a quarterback-driven league. Somebody likes him. Somebody's going to take a flyer on him. Quarterbacks don't fall. Shedeur Sanders not going to fall either. So what are they going to take, Jalen Milroe? I don't know about that. Matt is in Morristown, New Jersey, next up on the Fan. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Keith? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm a big fan of your show. First time caller to it. I will say I am a Philly fan, first of all. But
congrats to you. Well, I'm guessing you're an Eagles fan. Are you all Philly teams?
I don't do much hockey, but I am pretty much all Philly teams. Yes, sir.
Well, not so much with the Sixers, but I mean Eagles fans. Yeah. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of the success of the Eagles, and they're not going anywhere for a while.
Yeah, thank you for Saquon. So let me give you some insight. And I'll get to my Duke point because I heard you're a Duke fan also. But one of the last callers had said you guys should build your O-line, just looking from, you know, real perspective of team to team. Like, we got lucky drafting Hurts. That's how, if we would have rolled with Carson Wentz, yes, we built up our O-line and D-line over years, but we got lucky. We picked the right quarterback and then, Tush-push developed. I mean, things, you got to take a quarterback if you're the Giants. Like, look at Jaden Daniels last year with the Commanders. That's just how I see things. Like, for you guys.
CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
What I'll add to that is, like, it wasn't luck. Like, clearly you scouted him. Clearly somebody wanted him in, whether it was Howie or whoever. And they looked as, I just saw this AI video of his progression. Like, as much as I hate the Eagles, like, and I don't like Tush Push Boy, his story is amazing. And
he's a great leader, man.
He's a great leader of men. He might not throw for 300 yards a game. That's what I'm talking about with Justin Fields, Jets fans that are up listening. I'm like, Justin Fields should look at a lot of Hurts tape. Like, you got to lead guys. You got to distribute the ball. You got to hit guys when they're open. You got to know when to run it. The thing about Hurts that they identified was like, this guy's got the right head on his shoulders. He might not have the intangibles. Like, he might not jump off the page with statistics or his height or weight. But, like, there's something about this guy. Let's take a second-round pick, flyer on him, and see what he becomes. He's become a Super Bowl champ.
And you guys got a top pick. And, like, you know, if we hadn't taken Hurts, where would we be now? I mean, we'd be in the same – you never know. I mean, we'd be filtering for quarterbacks, too. We got lucky. So you might as well take – I would go for Shador. I'm a Shador fan. I think he hangs tough in the pocket and makes big throws. That's what I've seen last year and the year before. If his dad says, let's go to the Giants, I mean, I think you guys are coming up with Shador, but I don't fear you yet. I'll be honest to my team. I don't fear you yet. Even if you take Shador, it'll still take some time, but I think you'd move in the right step with him. Hey, are you a Duke fan, sir?
I grew up a Duke fan as a kid, but like, you know what I tell everybody, and I'm not ashamed of it. It's like, the TV made me fans of my teams. Whatever team was on TV, I was a front runner completely. So Duke, I remember watching the Cameron Crazies and Duke being good all those years, coming out of like Bobby Hurley, Christian later, into Battier, J.J. Redick, and Duhon and those guys, of course.
Okay. All right. I'm with you, man. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
I thought you had a point. I thought you had a Duke point.
No, I was just saying, if you're part of the brotherhood, then that's great, man.
Yeah, I'm in. Thanks for the call, Matt. I'm documented. I'm well documented. I've gone to see them at Madison Square Garden. I've gone to see them at Izod Center. I'm not as much now because, like, I told y'all the story. I'll never forget that game at Izod Center, which they don't even do much at Izod Center. This one guy at Temple was wearing us out, and I was like, he's right. I don't know the Duke fight song. I'm not an alumni. I just fell in love with the team watching them on ESPN. The Cameron Crazies, Diaper Dandy. Like, you know, it's crazy too, man. Like, the influence that social media has on kids now, the influence that even like radio and other platforms have, like, we didn't have all this. I mean, I just had the TV. And if it was Jordan, I'm a Bulls fan. If it was Jeter and the Yankees, I'm a Yankee fan. If it was Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, I'm a Cowboys fan. Duke, like, even Florida State. Bro, I was up on Florida State watching Peter Warwick. Like, I was watching Chris Winkie, you know, at Florida State, just like latching on to good teams that were on the TV. 888-808-1019, running out of time. When we come back, we'll talk more Mets, Yankees, Giants draft, just general sports stuff as I'm getting back into the swing of things, hitting on a few different things. I'll sprinkle some stuff in that I haven't gotten to as we close the show. If you're on hold, stay on hold. If you'd like to join the show, dial 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
World Series over! Yankees win! The Yankees win!
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium. New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right. I got less than 20 minutes left, so quick story time. And I buried this story from Tampa, because this is like something that I don't really want to talk about, but I had to share it with somebody, so I'll share it with you all, because this is where it originated from. And after this, I'm just gonna leave it alone, man. So you may remember, as we've done all this talk about Juan Soto, and you know, the Juan Soto sweepstakes was going on, and I don't know what the date was, but it was the day that Clay Holmes signed. Connor Green reached out and got John Heyman to join my KM to AM in the 8 o'clock hour. So all that happened with John Heyman. Obviously, you know, he got upset, and I apologize. My jokes and my way of trying to be different and not asking him the same questions he was asked over and over again, I took it a step too far. I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know he was sensitive about the stuff to that point. I didn't know that he was going to escalate to that level. I apologized to him on air. I tried to apologize after, tried to get his phone number, whatever. And I've told you guys, and I've been on podcasts where people have asked about it. I'm like, I'll see John again. I know it's crazy, but like, he's in the media, I'm in the media. We're going to run into each other, whether it's at Yankee Stadium or MLB Network or somewhere that, I don't know, baseball media, sports media people are in New York. Well, it happened. And me, I'm a straight shooter. I'm not ducking anything. And I'm a man of my word. So last Wednesday night, I go to the boss, George M. Steinbrenner Field, to meet up with my good pals, Dave Sims and Susan Waldman, who were nice enough to have me on the broadcast. I wasn't going to overstep. If you heard, I was pretty much just trying not to, you know, speak over any ball strikes, plays. And also, it's Dave and Susan's time and not mine, but I was happy to be a guest. When I pop in, I pop in first to the right where all the writers are. I see my guy Brian Hoke. I see Max Goodman. Who else did I see? I saw Mark Feinstein. All of them that I know. And I say hello to them. And I kid you not, I look out of the media window and I lock eyes on one guy. And I don't think he noticed me, but I saw him, and you can't miss him. It's John Heyman. who, when I had him on the show, I introduced him as John Heyman. Everybody that knows baseball, everybody that watches baseball, everyone knows John Heyman. So in my mind, I'm like, yes, John is here. This is my opportunity to speak to John in person, not over the phone, not on the radio, not on the internet. This is my time to apologize to him man to man, face to face, and be like, bro, that wasn't my intention. I didn't know it was going to blow up and turn into all that. But also thank him, because that went viral with all the Juan Soto talk, all of the whatever, like that went viral that week. That gave me a bump that week. Like, people found out about me that did not know about me prior. And I have John Heyman to thank for that. So I was kind of in the WFAN booth and popping out, hoping that, all right, he comes back. And the funniest thing happened. I did the seventh inning with Dave and Susan. And as I come out of the door and look to the left, he's coming out of like a room that's across the way. So I reach my hand up, two fingers in the air to get his attention, like, hey, John. Bro looked at me, looked away, and went back to his seat. And I, right there, I was just like, all right, he's not trying to. I tried to get his attention. Or maybe he doesn't know what I look like. I doubt that, though. I'm like, nah, he just. I told my wife, I'm like, I saw John Heyman. She's like, what'd he say? I'm like, nothing. I'm like, I tried to flag him down. I tried to like initiate a conversation with him. He just looked and kept walking. So, I got that feeling like I was being like a bully, or like he was like dodging a school bully. And that's not the type of energy I want to give off. That's not the type of person I am. And that's not the type of time I'm on. I'm transparent and very open about things. Like I said, I was going to thank him and I was going to apologize. And I honestly was going to say, John, we have an opportunity to do something funny right here. Like, we could do a video. You could say whatever you want. We could take a picture, whatever. And then this thing is, but like, if we don't, then it just ends up being what it was. And I guess that's fine. It could be whatever it was. But I thought I'd share that story. I saw John. I'll see him again. And I'll try again. But, like, if I get the, feeling like I got last Wednesday, like, he's not beat for me, I'll leave it alone. And we'll act like it never happened. 888-808-1019. Dave is in Howell, New Jersey. Dave, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. What's going on tonight? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for calling.
Legit respect on that story with John Heyman. Listen, it is what it is, you know?
It wasn't meant to be.
I'm sure, Keith, I'm sure you get another chance to, hash it out with him and figure things out,
He might not have Hopefully the time for me. Out. I might not be on his level. He might be like, you're under me, bro. No, you don't get to talk to me.
That's fine. Keith, you're next level. You're my boy. I really enjoy listening to you every single night.
Appreciate it.
It's a real
it.
Pleasure. My first time calling. About the Yanks for a second, when it comes to the third base situation, I really don't understand something. When it came to Anthony Volpe, right, he was a top prospect. The Yankees gave him all the time he needs. They brought him up a little too early, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree or not. But they gave him his chance to win the job. He won the job at a spring training, respect. And he balled out in spring training, and that's what got him to a spot. Now, he's been inconsistent. He's shown flashes and signs of consistency and then inconsistency. He's a very, very, it's yet to be determined what Anthony Volpe is going to turn out to be. But when it comes to third base, I feel like the Yankees never gave Oswald Peraza that chance to just steal the job. When he was in the minor leagues, he was really, really playing well. And I really believe the reason why he was playing well was because he got at-bats every single day, and he was playing consistent baseball. With the Yanks, it's always been chopped up. It's never been consistent. Why don't they just give him a shot? He was a top prospect for a reason. I don't know, Keith, you helped me out with this one. I really enjoyed the show.
I don't know. I disagree a little bit because they just gave him a shot. He had plenty of at-bats and opportunities to stand out in spring training this year. He didn't. He was in the running with Volpe, and like everything is circumstantial, right? Yankee fans were so done with IKF, they wanted Volpe to win that job. It was IKF, Volpe, and Peraza competing for that job, and it was clearly Volpe. Volpe rose to the occasion, and he put in the work, and he won the job. And yeah, some people may feel like he got, special treatment or treatment that others haven't. He did. But with Peraza, he's had opportunities. The same way I say spring training is spring training, the minors is the minors. He's had pop in the minors. He's hitting the minors. When he's had opportunities to come up, he's hit 188. So it's just kind of run its course with Peraza. But I'm not even mad at him. I look at the Yankees like, you did this to this kid. Like, you're responsible for developing him. You're the ones that, because of the IKF situation, right? You had to force him into playing in the ALCS against the eventual World Series champions. He shouldn't have been put into that spot. That messes 100%. With a kid's psyche and development.
100%, 100%. They just keep on, they cling on to their prospects for way too long. And honestly, here's my bold take. I feel like the Yankees are playing Anthony Volpe like the Giants play Daniel Jones. They're just sticking to him because they don't really have a better option. They're not going to go give a Corey Seager $300 million with this payroll. I just, come on, they can't upgrade that position. No knock on Volpe. I love him as a person. He's a very good time.
We all love the story. One of us, he's a local guy, but it's time for him to be what he's supposed to be. He was regarded with the Bobby Witts and Gunnar Hendersons of the world from playing Team USA baseball. Like, he was a top pick. He was a guy that they passed on Corey Seager, Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Marcus Semien. You know what I'm saying? Like, that year where it was all those shortstops. They passed on them because they had IKF the stopgap, knowing Volpe was waiting in the wings. Volpe has to emerge and consistently hit and play defense this year, or it's going to get loud. It started to get loud at the end of last year, and that's when people were saying, hey, he plays every day. He probably needs some rest. Oh, no, he's only 23. He doesn't need any rest. Well, they rested him, and he was better in the postseason. Listen, he's a grown man. It's his third year in the pros. And like I said, guys like Bobby Witt and Gunnar Henderson have emerged as like all-star MVP caliber types. Volpe's got, he doesn't have to be MVP, but he's got to be a solid player on both sides of the ball now.
100%. Keith, thanks so much for the time. It was a pleasure talking to you. You're legit my man.
Thanks for the call, Dave. 888-808-1019. You know, Peraza not becoming is another, just throw him into the bin with the other Yankee prospects that get hyped and don't become. And all you can wonder is like, wow, if we would have gave up Peraza, would we have gotten Luis Castillo? Like, I don't know. Or Volpe or whatever. Like, it's stuff we'll never know. What was the asking price? Like, Peraza was a shortstop that they were saying had a better arm than Volpe, was a better fielder than Volpe, had more pop than Volpe. It never materialized, but he was starting games in the 2022 American League Championship because IKF had the yips. Because, again, classic Yankees, IKF was playing third base and they wanted to turn him into a shortstop. And they had some numbers that said he was one of the best fielding shortstops. Whatever, man. Whatever, man. I'm not so worried about Peraza Palooza. We'll see what happens here. If he gets traded, he gets traded. He's out of options. He's out of time. And that's just how baseball works. That's baseball, Susan. I'm not really worried about Peraza because I just, like, you know, even with third base, Cabrera, that's your spot, buddy. Go for it. Do it. You've been on a couple opening day lineups. Like, go for it. I can't be worried about Peraza. He's not moving the needle. We just watched him in spring. He's Pablo Reyes is ahead of Oswald Peraza. Kenny C is in Westchester next on the Fan. What's up, Kenny?
Yo, Keith, money on the mic, McPherson. How are you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm all right.
Yo, first of all, I follow you on social media. I'm very hyped for opening day. Hopefully I see you there. Diehard Yankee fan. I'm going to be in the bleachers, so, you know, the bleacher creatures. You know how we do.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man. Like, I'm doing a stands appearance 11 a.m. to 1, and that's a huge blessing. And, like, I can't wait to see people there. But I'm just like, opening day has changed for me. Like, the fact that I'm even doing an event, I'm like, bro, it used to be just like, I was with the gang, with the creatures, and I still will be.
Right.
But, like, I'm not, like, I don't know. Like, I've evolved into a media member more than being a fan. So even when I want to be there for roll call in Section 203, because I've been for I don't know how many opening days in a row. But then it starts to look like I'm making the spot hot, if that makes any sense. Like, it's starting to look like, oh, like, I don't want to, like, all right, shout out to Justin Shackle. I'll actually be with Shaq in a few hours. We're doing something that we're working on something. But, like, when Justin Shackle and Ryan Rucco and Meredith show up to the bleachers, it's like, oh, celebrities, like, I don't want to be looked at as like a media member coming to the section because it's opening day. Like last year, like Jim Leyritz pulled up and it's like, I don't know. I got to hide. I got to put on I got to try and put on something where I blend in more. Cause I don't want to give off the image of like, oh, it's opening day, so I'm doing the roll call. Like, nah, like I know these people. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah. I think just from listening to you over these last couple of years, I've been listening to you, I think, 2 summers ago I started listening to you. You are an extremely laid-back and cool guy, while obviously also being a diehard Yankee fan. I feel like you'd fit right in to where it wouldn't be like you'd make the spot hot. I think you'd blend in.
Yeah, yeah. No, I used to fit in every year. Nobody cared who I was outside of the same people that know who I am. Now it's like, you know, I pull up and I don't want to make it seem markety. I don't want it to seem like oh, yeah, you're here for the cameras. Like, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm good.
I hear that. Well, congrats on the stands thing, because that is awesome. I'm definitely more of a Billy's guy, but I'll probably check out stands as well.
Man, shout out to Mike at stands. Shout out to Joey at Billy's. Schmitty at the dugout. Tony at Yankee Tavern. I'm an everywhere in Yankee land guy. I know all the owners and bartenders at all these spots. But, you know, shout out to stands, though. We're doing stands for Corona and WFAN opening day. But I'm everywhere. I've had a drink in all of those bars.
Hell yeah, man. I love to hear that. My point here, or my question more so, was, are you confident with Ben Rice going into the year at the DH spot? Because obviously, Stanton is huge shoes to fill. He's a tremendous loss to the lineup. Ben Rice, obviously the first Yankee to hit 3 home runs in a game last year. But after that July, he kind of went into that slump. Do you think he can be that guy for the time being at the DH spot? Or do you think the Yankees need to go out and maybe potentially trade for a guy like Luis Arraez, who doesn't have to be a defensive liability because he'd be a DH, or maybe a JD Martinez? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're not going to spend. They're not going to add a guy like a JD Martinez at this point. They're going to let the young guys. And Ben Rice impressed. Ben Rice, he put on 5-10 pounds of weight. He's hitting the ball hard, and he's consistently hitting the ball hard. Actually, when I was on with Dave and Susan, they asked me who was I impressed with. I'm like, Ben Rice. Because, when Ben Rice got called up last year, he was, skipping levels. I'm like, nah, they're not going to call him up. When Rizzo went down, I'm like, this kid's not ready yet. Ready yet? Like, he came up. He made history. And, again, he's looking ready. So, Ben Rice won't be the everyday DH. He's going to get some opportunities. I think the kid's ready for it. I think he belongs, and he showed he belonged last year. He showed he belonged in spring. If he's hitting the ball hard like this, give him a shot, at least to start. We're slim. Like, the bench is, the Yankees never have a bench, but the bench is not that deep. Yeah. If you can hit, you're going to find a way into the lineup.
Which is why, I know he opted out, but I was kind of surprised that we didn't make at least more of an effort to maybe try to keep Dom Smith. I call him Dommy Dingers just based on the spring that he had.
Yeah.
3 home runs, 12 ribbies. I would have maybe liked to see him get a shot in the DH spot, but
it's because he's a left-handed hitter. Look at the Yankees all of a sudden. Got too many left-handed hitters. It was like, we used to have Mike Ford and Brett Gardner. Now, look.
Right. We were begging for lefties at one point.
I had Rougned Odor.
I know. But, Keith, it's been a pleasure talking to you, my man. And I got to say, I'm an aspiring media personality in the sports field. And you've definitely become an influence on me, man, since I started listening to you. So much respect.
Appreciate it, bro. Build your own. We're in a time now where you have a phone that is 4K. You have these apps that can edit videos. Everybody's doing it. And if you work at it and you put the time in and you're dope, people will find you. That's just how the algorithm works. You could have one video that just, goes and does 50,000. And the next one, you build some followers, they do 100,000. There are no gatekeepers anymore, man. There's so many of these young kids now that started just going live and making content in high school. And they're in their 20s. They're millionaires. And a lot of them aren't even that smart. They're not even that dope. But, they just have been, they've been in front of the camera for a decade from age 15 to 25, built their following, and, they don't have to go through the channels of a major media network or radio station or television. Like, the internet is everything right now, and it's not going to change. It's going to continue to be. So, man, work on your own stuff. Build your own channels. Build your followers. Don't care what any negative haters say online, because that comes with the territory, and you could do whatever you want to do.
For sure, my man. And I've definitely been doing that on YouTube and whatnot. So I'm trying.
Yeah, just keep at it. Thanks for the call, Kenny. That's a good, you know, and I'm going to get one more call in, but like for anybody listening, man, don't let anybody discourage you, hate on you. Everybody starts somewhere. Mario, Long Beach, last call. You got it.
Oh, great. I'm glad I got in. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good to be back.
Yeah, nice to hear you. You know, I'm really happy. I was going to go into football, but I know you only have a short time left. But one thing I'm happy about is Cabrera at third base, because the same thing they did with Peraza, well, they were saying that. But Cabrera made me crazy last year. He'd play a game, he'd get two hits, and then they'd sit him for three games. And then you now let him play third base. That's his for the year. Let's see what he does. I think he'll do well. I like the kid. What do you think?
Yeah, and if he doesn't, they got to upgrade. But I'm with that, too. When I met Oswaldo at the Pinstripe Pride event, I said, you don't get enough love. And what I meant was, like, they don't give you enough consistent love. They played you a little bit. You know, they played John Birdie. They tried to find little spots for you. Okay, you'll play first base. You'll come in and be a defensive replacement. Like, just let him play. Yeah. And he's got that clutch gene. He's got a flair for the dramatic. Maybe he surprises us this year, hit some home runs, and it is better than we expect. Thanks for the call, Mario. All right, yo. I got to go home, try to go to sleep. Like I said, I'm doing something with Justin Shackle and Alex Day. If you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, social media, you'll see it. I can't let the cat out the bag yet. It's not even my thing to tell, but... C-Max coming up next. I'll be back at 7 o'clock for KM to AM. We're rolling. Baseball's back this week. Thanks for listening. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.